a machine wasn't working or something. There was some sort of steam engine machine or something like that. It was missing a part.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I must look for a wrench, a cog, a steel bar or something. A cog, yeah, simple. Of course, can't find anything. Racking my brain, thinking, what the hell's going on? A sheriff's badge! A sheriff's badge!
And welcome back to a brand new episode of everyone's favorite podcast, the Critical Arcade Podcast. I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm Dave.
Hello, Dave.
Hello, Nick. Are you well?
Yes, I'm well, thank you. A bit tired. And by a bit tired, I mean I'm mega tired.
Like pure zombie mode. Just like
yes.
Getting things done, but don't remember doing it or how or anything like that. Just
exactly.
Getting it done. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So... anyone listening who doesn't know, my wife and I, we just got twins a month or two ago.
You almost just said, I had twins.
I had twins.
I had twins. I'm famous now. I'm TikTok, the first man ever. I've had not only a child, I had twins. But yeah, continue.
The evenings are just relentless. This morning at 2 a.m., I was standing in the kitchen just washing a... pumps and bottles.
Mm-hmm. It makes you miss the times of fighting off bug hordes and automatons on Helldivers.
Exactly. Or, you know, sleeping.
Oh, yes, sleep. Well, it's an overrated sleepers. I've always thought it was overrated. Who needs sleep?
Nah,
that's just what pharmaceutical companies want you to think, and doctors and stuff. You don't need sleep.
Oh, of course. Big pharma.
Yeah, exactly. They're just trying to sell you supplements and stuff.
Another reason I'd say I'm tired, the past couple of days, weeks, Dave and I, we've been working hard to get our Patreon page up to snuff. It's not been where we wanted it to be for the past, I don't know, couple of months, maybe even a year.
A while, yeah.
So we were hard at work trying to get it good enough, which I'm happy to announce, now it is. Our Patreon page is now... good enough.
Well, we all learn. I should say we all, always get better and better. Hopefully,
For the next couple of weeks, you can expect regular drops on our Patreon page for Critical Cinema and our post show content. We've already recorded, remixed, should now be available in the next upcoming 5 weeks. I think yes, five. Starting with Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And, what's the next? I can't remember what the episode after that was. Fight Club?
Yeah, or something like that. But yeah, it has been a while since we recorded those. I can't remember myself.
So Captain America and the Winter Soldier should be available. Fight Club should be coming up this Thursday.
Exciting stuff. Both great films.
Check the Patreon. Everything's available for $5 a month. It would mean a lot if... anyone could support this show. We'd love that dearly.
We would. I'm not going to lie. It's just, yeah, I don't know.
Money? Yes, money.
Yeah, it's like I say, no, we don't want money. We want to do this for free forever. But no, yeah, if you give it a listen, it would be most appreciated.
Yes, definitely. But anyway, let's move on to this week's topic. This week, we somehow got... another part in a trilogy we've already had. And I can only say, I can only account this to the list All Hell the List. The list being sentient. It knew we wanted this game.
Wanted to push. It knew we must okay. Play this game. Or we
needed,
should play this game.
Needed this game.
Yeah, but I say wanted was a bit much there. But yeah, by all means, the list knows all. The list knows... far more than we do. It is becoming sentient. We will
it
have
does.
The first
it, yeah.
AI before Google and everything.
All hell the list.
All hell the list.
Dave, how about you tell us what did we play this week?
This week's game is Alone in the Dark 3, the 1995 classic. I want to say classic, because I remember when I was a kid, granted you were only two, so you can't. I remember people actually talking about the Alone in the Dark games, that they were scary and kind of cool and grown up and all these other things.
Yes.
And I never played them because they're scary, and you know, scary is not my type of jam. But it was good. It was fun to finally dive in to a, well, 1995, I don't know how long that makes it, 19 years old? No, more than that, no, 29 30. Years old?
Yeah. Oh, if well, it's yeah. 1994, 95, 29?
Right? 29, Jesus, 29 years old. That is, I feel so old that I've got memories of kids discussing that in the schoolyard. But yeah, diving back into classic retro gaming on the PC is always a lot of fun.
It is. It really
is. This was developed by a company called Infogrames. It just bugs me. Am I saying that wrong?
I was thinking the same thing. Why is that R there? Why is there an R?
Huh? Why is it Infogrames? What's a grame?
That makes zero sense. Infogames.
Yeah, perfect. That's what I thought it would be. Perfect. Infogames.
Infogrames? No, they were smoking something. The 90s were hectic.
It's French. I still don't know if that's any regards. I don't think that's a French word. Anyway, Infogrames. It was a subsidiary of Atari. Everybody knows Atari from the console system to all the games. They're a massive powerhouse friggin' developer. So, and of course, it's the same developers who made Alone in the Dark 1 and 2.
Yes. One of which we have already reviewed.
Oh, exactly right. The first one.
On the show. Classic. Yeah. When was that Halloween 2023?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was. I think that did tie in, didn't it?
Yes, it was Halloween 2023. That was our special. Alone in the Dark 1, 1992. And now we've got the third installment. We're just skipping Alone in the Dark 2 entirely. Yeah,
the list did not want us to play the pirate version. not the pirate version. There were literally pirates in the game. Sorry, before I say the pirate version. The second one was all about dead pirates, it would seem.
That's true. And the third one is all about dead cowboys.
Oh, yeah, right. Where else are you going to go with it? We had normal haunted house. We had pirates. You're going to go with cowboys.
It just feels like... Is the adventures of Edward Carnby in cliché supernatural stories. Well,
cliché. But you can only have clichés when it's first established and people repeat it.
You
don't know if Alone in the Dark 3 was the first cowboy horror game. I'm pretty sure it wasn't certainly the first of its genre movie-wise, but I can't, you know, it's a cliche now, but was it a cliche back then? Who knows?
Very true, because this was only 30 years or so after when spaghetti westerns took over the world.
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. This was probably hot stuff back then.
Yeah,
not so much now though. This was also the first game of theirs to be released on a CD. Old technology. It was shiny. It was brand new. It was cool. It had a CD-ROM drive.
So, what was the previous two released on? Floppy drives.
Floppy drives or sticky really? Disks, depending on which. Yeah, like a two or three floppy drives.
What? I can't imagine playing a 3D game on a floppy drive. That doesn't compute.
No, it does. I've actually own a few 3D
games. 3D games on floppy drives? Games.
Yeah. But it's like 12 floppy disks or 15. I've got
There we go.
Yeah, that's a lot of floppy. And the only reason this is actually on CD-ROM is because they translated it into like 7 different languages. And of course, the audio of translations were a lot bigger than a lot of other things. So they had to put it on a CD instead of floppy disks.
I see.
Which
they
is
had
cool.
To.
I like that.
It is cool. It's very much the first of its kind to be released on CD drives.
Exactly.
Right? Because after this, or during this, was when the PlayStation 1 released. Oh, when did the PS1 get released?
PS1. I had to find
right?
Out.
That's around 94, 95.
It has to be. It has to be, because I remember PS1 that being pushed.
PS1 release.
Yeah.
That is December 1994. And everything on the PS1 is disc-based.
Yeah, and that was one of its big selling points as well, the PlayStation 1, was that. Wow. Ooh, new format of gaming, high-def disc, CD, compact disc. Yeah,
the only way to play Final Fantasy VII.
Damn straight. I'm not going to argue with that one.
So once again, Alone in the Dark, the franchise, is at the forefront of technological progress.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't look so much now when you go backwards, but yeah, it was pretty much one of the leaders in gaming technology and graphics fidelity.
I'm surprised the first game fitted on floppy disk. There we go. Because of Edward Carnby's massive mustache.
Of course, no, and the perfectly shaded pixels of his arms and legs and I can remember, but I had TIE Fighter, the original Star Wars game. That was on 8 discs.
Oh, not a fighter from Thailand.
No, Star Wars TIE Fighter.
Okay.
Yeah, there was just a fighter game from a guy from Thailand. You just played, just flying around Thailand, just landing. That was a big hit back then.
And his sequel, Viet Fighter.
Yeah, they just released different Asian countries a fighter game. Also, this was the first official, I don't know how many more there were, but it's the first time you actually had a difficulty scale in this game. You could make it hard, medium, or easy.
Was that just for this franchise or for games
in general? Oh, no, just for this franchise. I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that thing. But because this game or these games are particularly complicated or hard, you are now allowed to lower the difficulty so that you could take more hits.
They are a bit hard.
Hard's not the word. Later, I've got this later. Hard's not the word. Bizarre. Like what were they smoking with some of the puzzles in this? It's insane.
Okay, we'll get into that in gameplay.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Let's jump into the narrative.
The narrative I thought was quite fun. Sorry, go on.
Yes, fun. I was going to say, fun is the word. Mm. They're having a ball making these games.
Yeah, no doubt.
This is the third game of the franchise, Alone in the Dark. The first one, Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, very vanilla, which is nice. People like that. The second one, okay, how do we spice it up? I know, pirates.
Yeah, what isn't spiced up with pirates, right?
You can always pirates. Make something better with pirates. Ghost ship.
Huh? Yeah.
Davy Jones, the Haunted Dutchman. We can have all of those vibes.
No doubt. Yeah.
And then for the third one, they said, okay, this is something nice that we've got here. How do we spice it up again? I know. Dead cowboys, the town of Tombstone.
Yeah, ghost towns,
have him fight
right?
Billy the Kid.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's like it reminds me a lot like the Goosebumps books when you were a kid. Just same type of
perfect.
Vibes. Right?
Yes.
It's fun. It's wacky.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to play in those type of stories and the like, right?
Oh, that's such a good comparison.
Yeah, they got those vibes. Also, my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this is that it's tied into the first game. Like, that's nowadays, that's not that impressive because everything is. But back in the
everything
day, this was tied into the first game.
I know.
Because
I know exactly what you mean. If you played the first one, you were sort of narratively rewarded by playing this one then.
Yes, exactly right. Because one of the characters you can play in the first one, in the third one, has gone missing. I know, right? It's like duh, duh, duh.
And not only that, it's the other playable character from Alone in the Dark 1.
Right, that's cool. Hartwood, right?
Emily Hartwood.
Now she's a leading actress, and she was working in this ghost town and has now gone missing. And it's up to you to find her.
Find her and the film crew. By the way, the name of this ghost town, can you remember it?
I remember slightly because I didn't recognize the second name. Was it Gulch or Grolch?
Yes. I can't imagine anyone ever calling the town that they found Slaughter Gulch.
Slaughter Gulch, yeah. I remember thinking,
why
that
on earth
like
would
a
you settle?
Yeah.
Why would you settle in Slaughter Gulch? you just meet your in-laws. Oh, hello, yes. I'm from Middleton and your father-in-law goes, oh, great. Yeah, we were thinking of moving to Slaughter Gulch.
Granted, yeah.
What?
Whoever moves to something that's like Slaughter Gulch or Deadly, you know, Deadly Town or Might Go Missing Village.
But just Might Go Bloody Crevice.
Yeah, exactly. But Gulch, I did look up, is a word. Gulch is something to do with rivers or a dried up ravine or something like that.
Slaughter's also a word.
Yes, I know, Slaughter, like that. It sounds darling, doesn't it? Oh, we must move to Slaughter. Oh.
But how do you make, how do you name a
it's
town?
It's the 90s.
Right?
It's the 90s.
I guess
we had Dirty
it's fun.
Harry.
It's a lot of fun, right? The
exactly.
Jamaican team has got a bobsled team.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun.
Exactly.
But can you just imagine going to the Slaughter Gulch Library? Phoning up the Slaughter Gulch Municipality.
Right, yeah, you can't you? Yeah, exactly. Just that's it. Those things must happen. where they're doing like research and stuff like that. You lose their hope those things happen.
Yes.
And let me just point. Sorry, go on. Go on.
No, I was going to say that this town is actually modeled after a real American town, big in the cowboy era. Have you heard of the town called Tombstone?
I know there's a movie called Tombstone or something like that. A really old Western movie. I know not, that much. That's not about surprised. It. That's
the
about
town
it.
Of Tombstone has got a big legend. Mm. There was one of the biggest West shootouts of the Old West happened in Tombstone.
I think the sheriffs and the
yeah, the sheriffs and the outlaws. And I think Doc Holliday was a part of this.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know of him.
A load of big Old West names died in the shootout. And it said the cemetery in Tombstone is haunted.
Makes sense. I can see the lore. I can see how that would all add up. I didn't know and it was real.
Yes!
That's cool.
And the best part, well, probably not best, but a fun part of this is by buying a hard copy of this game. Well, they only had physical copies. By buying this game in 1994-5, Infogrames, or who did you say owned them?
Atari. They were friends.
Atari held a competition that one lucky buyer could win a trip to Tombstone. No way.
Did that really happen?
That's awesome.
Did the buyer never come back?
Maybe
this competition wasn't a good idea because we can't find little
little Christian. Philip is now.
Sebastian's gone missing and no one can find him. But anyway, he won.
Anyway, look forward to Alone in the Dark 4.
Find where's Sebastian, right? No, that's cool. I like that. I love those types of little ideas of marketing. They should do that more now.
It's great. They really should.
Let me just point out that the beginning narrative, the opening sequence of this game,
which is very good,
it was the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. It was hilarious. It was just the what is going on moment of all of it. And then there's that lovely, I know this is visuals or even that, but the narrative part when the power goes off.
He says the line.
Yeah, I'm alone in the dark.
Yay, he says the line.
So dumb. But it still made me laugh. It made me laugh. It's like 90s funny.
It's 90s
kind
funny.
Of dumb now, but it was...
It's the endearing dumb.
Yes, it is.
Jim
it is,
Carrey, Dumb and Dumber type dumb.
It was just so silly. That whole bit was silly. Oh, God, it was crazy.
It's the bad guy being punched in the face at the end of a Spielberg film funny.
Yes, yeah, it really was. It really was. But narratively, much to go on. You go to, of course, the ghost town. You're looking for Emily Hartwood.
Yep.
A bunch of cowboys, of course, trying to kill you. There's lots of weird things that you only get explained later. I had no idea why, when you killed some of the cowboys, they turned into a cat.
Why did that happen? Do you know, actually?
Well, most turned into a cat, and then some turned into bats, and I just thought those are familiars, right? Yeah, the couple turned into bats.
Oh.
I just thought because they're familiars, I thought maybe there was some sort of witch aspect to this going
on. That could be it.
I didn't really see anything else. What do you think?
I like the idea that a game this early in gaming had such a big hand in, what do you call it, visual storytelling.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
Right, just the fact that you kill a zombie, you cowboy, whatever, it turns into a cat or a bat and then warps away.
Yeah.
It makes you think, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And
it
it's not
make you think,
telling you with exposition, it's a mystery. No, you can see by something that you did by interacting with the game, it's mysterious. That's good. That's
true.
Some good visual narrative storytelling.
They don't handhold, do they?
No.
Especially the old games of like the 90s and stuff like that compared to now. They don't handhold. And that's what I want another note. I was like, narratively, you come across posters in the sheriff's office. Mm-hmm. And under each one of them, be it, I can't remember their names now, some dastardly name for the characters, and they kind of gave you their weaknesses on the poster boards that you had to remember.
Ooh.
Right, there was one cowboy who was obsessed with the gold rush, and the only way to kill him, his weakness, was a gold bullet. So in your mind, you thought, okay, I need to find a gold bullet, right?
Wow.
And that was cool. That was a cool little bit just to tell you, remember this and remember that. And remember, this game doesn't give you any quest markers or any notes.
But that's...
You genuinely have to remember it or write it down. mean, no, that was good.
That was adventure games in the 90s.
Exactly, exactly. No hand-holding at all.
I miss that. I never got a lot of that. I kind of made up for it with playing all the Monkey Island games in the 2000s.
But the king of that time.
Man, those adventure games, the Sam and Max, Day of the Tentacle, all those types.
Oh, yeah. No, no. That's the best thing about those games. You actually feel proud you completed them.
Because they are
complex. They're like doing a Sudoku or whatever you like to do to test your brain. That's what those games are.
I think the best way to compare them now is with Elden Ring.
Yes, yeah, true.
Not because you're just proud you completed it, but the game doesn't force feed
I get what you mean,
ties between story points.
No, exactly. No quest markers or anything, right? You find the stories on your own, the side quests and stuff like that.
Yes.
No, agreed. It has got the same thing.
Adventure games are a bit weirder. This one included. There's... The game doesn't tell you, and it's not all that common sense, that earlier in the game, you need to pick up a cane.
Yeah, don't give me
Because
start.
Later in the game, you need to get the keys for a jail cell behind the bars with that cane.
Don't,
the game doesn't tell you, and it doesn't even hint towards that's what you need to do.
Okay, well, you've chosen a couple there. Which had some logic associated to it, right?
Okay.
I can imagine going into the jail, there's a key, it's out of reach. Okay, I need something I can reach. I could think to myself, oh, that cane, or something like that. I'm with you there.
Yes.
Now, there were some moments in this, the puzzles, though it could be gameplay. Narratively, they kind of do move on the story.
Yeah.
There was one moment where I had to feed meat to a cuckoo clock. And I don't know why. A slither of meat to a cuckoo clock
to shut
it up.
No, that does not make sense.
Another great one. A machine wasn't working or something. There was some sort of steam engine machine or something like that. It was missing a part.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, I must look for a wrench, a cog,
a cog,
steel
right?
bar or something. A cog, yeah, simple. Of course, can't find anything. Racking my brain, thinking, what the hell's going on? A sheriff's badge. A sheriff's badge. That's the answer. Because that hole in the machine is perfect for a sheriff's badge. Five prongs.
Of course it is.
I was like, okay, I'll give you. You're pushing. Yes, a sheriff's badge has cog-like aspects to it. But you can't tell me that's the answer. Oh, that annoyed me. That was so obscure. But, like, most of the puzzles in this, they're obscure as hell.
Yes. But let's go on. Get into that in gameplay.
Visual. Okay, gameplay, that's right.
I agreed the puzzles, I don't know, some of them made a bit sense.
Yeah, no, some
There's a trap door and a big skull on the wall with horns.
Yeah, yeah,
pull
that's
a horn,
right, that's right.
Trap door opens, that's fine.
Yeah, classic, can't get wrong with, nothing wrong with that.
But you're right, a badge in the machine, no.
Visually,
no.
This game used the exact same engine from the first one, did you know that?
I can see that.
Mm.
I can imagine there weren't a load of 3D engines in the early 90s.
Not 3D, you're right. But remember, this is the same era, 1995, what, Full Throttle came out?
Sierra.
What was it? Star Wars Dark Forces, Mortal Kombat 3, Comic Zone. You're right, those are all 2D either platformers or games to some degree.
Yeah.
But graphics was improving at quite a great rate, but they still used the same visual engine. And people were a bit upset because they did so well with the pushing the boundaries in the first one that a few years later, they're still using the same engine to perform the same things and stuff like that.
That upset, though?
If you look at some of the reviews of the days gone in the past, this one didn't get as good. This one was the second highest rated. The first one got rated the best. The second one rated the worst because they just thought that was more boring. People were a bit disappointed. But for granted, this was back in 1995. So,
yes.
You know, everybody's got to find something wrong with something.
I think this game still looks fine. I'm happy they updated Edward Carnby's player model. He looks so much better.
That's true. He does look a lot better.
Than his
that's
big
true.
Goofy handlebar mustache.
No doubt.
That looked dumb. He looks better. He looks like he can take a punch and dole one out.
Agreed. He does look more rough and ready. He's got more of that 90s
I'm glad.
Clint Eastwood Fistful of Dollars type feel about him.
Yeah, what I missed from this third entry that I really liked from the first entry was a load of the Lovecraftian elements.
Oh yes, granted, yeah, that was right. That was
the first one. Here. Wasn't just a haunted house. No, the owner, someone DeSeto,
yeah,
was trying to summon the old gods in his basement.
That's right. That's right.
And if you fail the game, he succeeds.
Yeah, no doubt. This is this again. No hand holding.
No, but in this one, no. Did I miss something, or is it really just dead cowboys?
I didn't see. I played quite a lot of this game. I didn't see anything but dead cowboys. Did I see anything but dead cowboys? No, they were all cowboy-esque. They're very much, you know, gallon hats and stuff like that. They were all, and they were shooting you all the bloody time. So they must have been cowboys.
I don't have an issue with lowered stakes at all. True. I don't have a problem if we're going from saving the world to saving a town. That's fine.
Yeah,
but I think I just prefer the Lovecraftian elements over the over this Dead West.
Yeah, you like the aesthetic. Classic horror more than
I think I missed that. But no, I'm not digging on the visual style here at all. I think it worked fine for what it tried to do.
I have to point out there was one part, like I think it was the same in the first game. In this game, it was just kind of cool, still is kind of cool. You kind of get death scenes, right? Remember the death scenes? And when you die, you get treated to a scene of your death or what they do after your death. Something like that. I forgot this was a thing. So I got into Gulch, what the hell, this place is Slaughter Gulch.
Yeah.
The bridge blows up. I'm like, oh, shit, all right, cool.
Which should have killed you, by the way.
Yeah, it's very much so. Again, that if you stay, you had to move quite quick. So I die, and then the next scene, I'm hanging by my feet at a bar, and there's five cowboys around me.
Yep.
And so in my mind, I thought to myself, oh, maybe I was supposed to die. And this was like narratively the next scene. So I wait.
Yeah.
And there's...
Oh, no.
The whole scene is me hanging upside down, and there's five cowboys, and then one cowboy turns and leaves. And then like 12 seconds later... One other cowboy turns and leaves.
That's
and
right.
And then another 12 seconds. That was it. They then just left. It was like a minute of my time. And I'm like, what is going on? Somebody cut me down or tell me something. But no, they then just left. And I was like, oh, it's a death scene.
Yep. I'm telling you, you're right. These 90s games, they don't hold your hand at all.
Like this game, I can only imagine back in the day, because we're so used to quest markers and narrative points, or being able to read or something where you might be going wrong. This game on its own, trying to work it all out on your own and try to survive, literally must have taken ages and ages and ages and ages.
Yes.
Because I was lost. Same. Most of the time completely lost.
And but being, I mean, isn't harangued. That just most adventure games?
Yeah, that's true. But this
you're
this
lost
one can die,
all the time.
Right? Yeah. In Monkey Island, you didn't have that stress that you might die.
Probably not. You're right. But I guess that's why Alone in the Dark could be considered one of the first horror games. That added tension.
Agreed.
That added tension adds just a new layer.
There was a lot of things in this which I did like as well. There was bits I didn't know, I didn't think was going to work, but it was kind of cool. You could physically knock the cowboys down holes and stuff like that. That was in the 2D background and stuff. Did you notice that?
I
thought that was cool.
I
genuinely didn't expect that. I don't know why. I figured games hadn't reached that point where physics kind of worked in games. But you could knock them down the stairs or the ladder, right?
Yes. In the jail cell I was talking about earlier, you get into it through a trap door. And after you've been in the jail cell a while, a zombie, a dead cowboy, follows you into this jail cell through the trap door. So I just give him the old 1-2 and he fell back down.
Yeah, that was kind of a cool moment, right?
Definitely.
Can I tell you what moment was cool but also bullshit? I was like, I'm so safe now. I'm so safe. There's one part where you go into a jail again, I think it is, or you go into the jail cell and it's a door and there's only one of those little rectangle holes in the door. And you're in there and you're hiding in there and I'm thinking, oh, well, I'm completely safe now. And then the bugger puts his hand through the hole in the door and just starts shooting inside the cell room.
No.
He did. I was... I did not see that coming. It was very cool visually, but it did kill me because I was like, no, I'm safe here. I can just relax. I'll just look at things or something like that.
Yeah.
But no, I thought that was really cool. They even thought about the aspect that everyone's going to hide in here. So the cowboy did what any reasonable cowboy would do, shove their hand through the hole and just shoot inside it. I was like, whoa, that's really annoying. But it was kind of cool at the same time.
That is really cool. Jeez. A game almost 30 years old. To be able to do all of this. I can see why they had to put it on a compact disc.
Yeah, yeah, you can, can't you? Yeah, I agreed, agreed. It's far, far more to it. Even, I swear, the animations of our dude climbing through windows and, like, just animated whilst doing things seem to be more points of animation, if you know what I mean. Like, you saw his legs and feet and arms and hands move more than the first one. I don't know about the second one. The only thing I also thought was kind of dumb. There are these great little bits where they tell you like a story scene through a poem. I'm sure you saw
that. Oh, that, yes, I got that.
And those are really nice. But sometimes they reused the same picture as was before. And I don't understand. It was like a PowerPoint production, right? Where you get a scene, a lyric of the poem, and then another scene, and then a lyric of the poem. But sometimes those scenes were the exact same picture. And I don't understand why you wouldn't have just put one picture on and two parts of the poem and then moved on to a different picture. It just felt, I don't know, kind of weird to me. It's like trying to get extra credit at school where you had to do 15 slides and you just repeated two of them so that it would equal 15.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. What did you think?
I don't know. That feels a bit nitpicky, I think. Other parts of this game, I didn't have an issue with that. I think some of those pictures looked nice.
No, the pictures looked fine. I just didn't know why they repeated them. But anyway,
you're right. That's a good point. There's a picture of a zoomed in face. One of the cowboys.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
And that looks really
good. That was
good.
Cool. Yeah, I had the really same feeling. Good. I had the same feeling when I looked at it. I thought, whoa, somebody worked hard on this. Damn.
Yes.
In this era of graphics, that looked really cool.
Before we move on to audio, I've got one last point.
Go on.
Do you know the style called Midwest Gothic?
I can't say I've stumbled across it, but I can picture it in my head now you mentioned that. Midwest and Gothic combining, yeah.
Midwest Gothic, let's say, is that very, very eerie, mysterious horror style, but fused perfectly with that of the Midwest. And the Old West, let's say, massive cornfields, but cult member standing in the middle in the dead of night.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
A floating corpse rising above an old country house in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Midwest Gothic, I really like that style, and I think was one of, if not the inspiration for the style of a game like this.
Yeah, I agree entirely. I'm desperately trying to rack my brain to see, think if I can remember a horror movie that had that, if this was a genre where that came into play, horror movie-wise, in the cinemas.
All Children I think of the Corn, maybe?
That's the only thing that came into mind was Children of the Corn by Stephen King, right? Because that's just cornfields and a little village or something inside the corn.
I can't think of much else.
No, nor can I. But yeah, yes, I get what you mean. I get what you mean.
Yes, like, if anyone were just to search Midwest Gothic,
yeah,
you would see what I mean.
It's literally like, it's like the isolation of being in a town surrounded by nothing, but also having horror elements, and all you got is a pitchfork or no one to turn to for help. There's not like a I get what you mean. Yeah, it is defined. Children of the Corn is literally the one that comes to my head, and this game used it too, right?
What?
The Gothic, Western Gothic type features and styles and stuff like that.
Yes,
yeah. No.
To the nails. No, it was really good, really well done. I just think because it's 30 years old, technology might not have been good enough to fully realize what they maybe were trying to go for.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean. I
was satisfied though.
Okay, should we jump to audio then?
Let's do it.
Audio man.
Let's see here. The audio for a game like this. This was developed for PC. PC back then was not the machine it was. It was not meant for gaming like most PCs would be today. It was still just a machine that you I don't know, do your taxes, make
yeah,
a
word
sheet.
Processing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it really was. So.
It was not meant for gaming. And I know the Sega's consoles, Nintendo's consoles, the PlayStation, those are also just computers.
Yeah, that argument you get all the time. More prominent now, but back then, back in the day. But yeah, you're right.
Yes. But I'd argue those are computers made for gaming. A
They're
PC
exactly
back then yeah. was not made for gaming. So
no.
making a game specifically for PC, I don't know. I don't know if it sits so well, especially for the audio, because the audio is crude and old and not in a nostalgic sense.
Yeah,
like for the SNES, for
yeah,
example.
Yeah, of course, yeah, I agree. Agreed. No, exactly. I know exactly what you mean. You can almost hear the original SNES or any Nintendo noises in your head, and they're iconic.
Yes.
I can't picture many PC game audio that I'll remember forever, if you know.
No.
What I mean. And I played plenty of games on them back in the day. And the voice acting in this game, as it just for me, went from good to horrible,
yes,
to good
bad.
To insane. it makes you wonder. I love, like I said, we discussed this before. I love picturing how they do it. Like, do you just email someone
in the studio?
Say,
is that what you mean?
Is it in a studio or is some of it just in someone's like shed?
Probably. I don't know.
The opening voice acting was horrible. The opening scene voice acting was atrocious. It was so bad. It was funny bad. Good bad fundamentally. But later on, those little poems and some of the other like storytelling aspects wasn't the worst voice acting I've ever heard.
I guess I'm.
What do you think?
I think the voice acting is a bit overdone, but I'm wondering now. That was a staple of the 1930s.
Yeah, I can't generally remember good voice acting.
Do you think they might have done it on purpose, or do you just think that's 90s entertainment?
Yeah, I think that's 90s. I'm sure they tell you they did it on purpose.
Oh, right.
I think that was that's what voice acting was back then before.
Oh, okay. That does make sense. We've come a long way.
Yeah, we really have. Anything else, audio man? Like,
yes,
I got
a couple.
Go on.
I was saying earlier the audio is crude and old and not in a nostalgic or nice way.
Mm.
The noises are loud and isolated and really not pleasing to listen to, which, in a huge stroke of fortune, plays in this game's favor because it's a horror game.
Okay, right? Yeah, I get what you mean.
When
yeah,
you
yeah.
walk around in the bar, all you hear is your just footsteps.
Yeah, on the wood flooring.
Gush,
yeah.
gush, gush, yeah, gush. Yeah. That's all you hear. Mm-hmm. You can hear creaking. You can hear the wind. It's not done well, but
it's there.
It does put me on edge. Mm-hmm. It is unpleasant. And some would say that's the point. Some would say that's the point of a horror game. Right?
Well, I agree, yes. Yeah, even the use of poor sound to make you feel more on edge than no sound at all.
Which
right?
is a weird argument to make, but does in a way make sense. I'd say it's a limitation of the time.
And oh, yes, definitely.
Yet it's something they haven't entirely figured out yet. 3D gaming, PC gaming.
No, agreed.
To
agreed.
Use
it hadn't been fleshed out yet.
Spatial audio. Mm. They haven't figured out yet at that time at all.
No,
but
I agree entirely.
In this specific case, the unpleasant sounds kind of worked in its favor because it's a horror game.
Yes, yeah, no, like I said, and it's funny to say that it probably only ever really works if it's a horror game.
Yes.
You know, the poor Agreed. Audio kind of adds to horror compared to if it was a fantasy or a race car driving game. You know, bad audio would annoy you. But
something like... maybe Metal Gear Solid or Final Fantasy VII, amazing games, or Ocarina of Time, those games probably wouldn't have hit as hard as they did if the audio was bad, if
no,
the music
agreed.
Was
agreed.
Bad.
I agree entirely. Especially, the Zelda is iconic music. Doesn't matter which game version you
exactly.
play, the music is very recognizable. There were some other things in it, like I said, again, amazing game logic. This does come down to sound at the moment. There's a Sorry, this is so stupid. There's a part where you pick up maracas.
Yes!
Right? And then the sound effect for the maracas is horrible. Like, it couldn't sound less like a maraca.
Yes.
But, sorry, I just remembered what you use
it's
the maracas
for. It's hilarious
what
you do with the maracas.
Yeah, you use the maracas to tempt snakes out of a doorway or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was so stupid.
What do you mean? No, it was okay, a giant... You were chasing away a giant rattlesnake.
Yeah, I know, but there were little snakes underneath it.
Yes, yes, there
things,
were little
right?
snakes. I think those dispersed once you dealt with the mama giant rattlesnake.
I got you, but I love that the idea that the giant rattlesnake was attracted to your maracas. Because
it's
that's
so
a
funny.
Thing, right? That's a
it's
thing.
So
like,
that is just so 90s. I
yeah, it
love
is,
it.
It is, it is. But the sound effect of those maracas were horrible. They didn't sound like... They don't sound like a maraca. Now, I don't know no. what doing proper high-fidelity maraca sound.
No, me neither. Size-wise. Neither do they.
No. I thought that was annoying. There was... What the most annoying sound effect is later on in the game, you get a shotgun. And as everybody knows, when you get a shotgun, you get that warm, fuzzy feeling inside you and go, yeah. This is what
yeah,
it's about,
I can
right?
now. Now I really defend myself.
Yeah. And then I used it and it just went... And I was like, what?
Come on.
I'm like, I even looked to see if I had blanks or if it was if it had no ammo in it.
Yes.
The sound effect of the shotgun.
Was that just
was,
the sound effect? Nice.
It was lighter than the rifle.
Good job, Infogrames. Yeah,
that was really strange. Oh, it was, I don't understand that. That really made me sad because shotguns are very close to my heart. I love shotguns in games.
Of course, especially in horror games. They are, that's a big moment when you
yeah,
get a shotgun.
Yeah, iconic. Yeah, exactly, when you get your shotgun. One thing I did like, though, your heart, you hear, you know, there were lots of scenes.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing. I was going to say the exact same thing.
Go for it.
I do enjoy the music, and the fact that the composer tried so hard to make it sound Wild West themed.
Yeah, he tried.
And
he did so
with one very specific and unique instrument.
It's
excellent. It's so excellent. We can hear in the main theme so prominently jaw harps.
Yes, that's right. I was wondering what they were called.
I needed to Google.
I could see people playing them. Never knew what they were ever called. But yes.
I had to Google until I found a video of a guy in a cowboy hat playing a jaw harp.
That's right.
Of course he was wearing a cowboy
hat. It's weird to describe to everybody who's listening. It's like that. I don't know how you do it. It's like
it's odd. You'll recognize it though.
Yeah, like I said, it's got that typical Western feel to
yes,
it all the time.
Yes.
Like you'll see tumbleweed go across the screen every time you hear it or something like that in your mind's eye.
Yep. Not only that, but it was accented with trumpets and banjos. Excellent. Yes. Excellent.
And that's kind of, those, strangely enough, those are brass instruments, right? Before I make myself feel stupid. There's something very alone and kind of isolating by those instruments added to it, if you know what I mean, right? They're kind of a lonely noise compared without having violins surrounding it. So it added to the desolation of where you were. There wasn't anything else.
Another fun little title, you're alone in the dark.
And they say that all the time. Even the first one was funny, but every time you go into a room which is dark, it literally writes at the bottom, you are alone in the dark, just to remind you. Whoa. Wall breaking. Oh no,
he said the thing.
but I did like when you're alone in the dark, all you can hear is your heart. They actually start going,
was that what that was?
Yeah, it's not a great sound because it doesn't sound much like your heart.
Yeah,
but they start kind of instilling panic because you're alone in the dark.
Wow.
And then you just light a candle.
Game really was trying to be at the front.
It really was.
What
it
horror was. Games, interactive horror is. I think it succeeded.
Yeah, I do. I just think the competition got so fast. Like, I know it's only a few years between the first one and this one. But then with Full Throttle, with LucasArts coming out and all these other things, the competition was fierce.
Very true. And even with horror games, I mean, it was around this time for the PS1 that we got Silent Hill and Resident Evil.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was wondering if Resident Evil was coming out at the same time as this, because, again, they knocked it out the park. So when you're releasing your same engine game on the PC at the same time as, you're going to start, people are going to start seeing the cracks because you've got Resident Evil and then you've got this game.
That's the thing. This goes exactly into my point for earlier. Both Silent Hill and Resident Evil are superior horror games and adventure games, and they were both developed for the PlayStation 1.
Yes, that's very true. No, I agree.
I don't have an issue with PC gaming at all. I'm saying is back then, 30 years ago, developing for computers made for gaming was, I think, the better way to go instead of computers not made for gaming.
It really was. Yeah, I remember the era of the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2. Yeah. PlayStation 2, we started getting PC games. PlayStation 1, the PC, when PlayStation 1 out, the PC games you got, well, they were super limited. I'm not even sure if they had a shelf at your local game store.
Yeah.
You know, for example, Blockbuster Video never rented out PC games. Mm-hmm. I know it's a weird thing to state. It was only ever console games because PC gaming wasn't really big then. Like you said, it was a personal computer. It was to do your emails on and Excel on. Granted, emails later.
Buy a carpet. Look at pictures of your cousin.
Exactly. That it wasn't gaming yet. As you say, it was no longer different now, but not back then.
I think it was sometime in the PS2 era.
Agreed. That's when it seemed to kick off. Yeah.
Right. Gaming seemed to be profitable. So companies developed for all machines. And it seems the easiest one to develop for was the PC.
Yes, exactly. Because that's what you built your games used on, didn't you?
Exactly.
You built them on PCs, so why not run them on PCs?
Yeah, but this game was before that.
Yeah, well, that
point.
Kicked in. Exactly. Anything else audio-wise you want to talk
about? No, let's move on to gameplay, which I'd say is arguably the most annoying part of this game.
Ladies and gents, if you do play this game, you should play this game. It's not too bad. But get a guide or something.
Please do.
Oh, it's agonizing. It is agonizing just going around and the ghosts keep coming up and trying to shoot you and you keep running out of health and you don't know why you've got a piece of meat or a sheriff's badge and there's no reason to have it.
Or maracas for some reason.
Or you were supposed to take that bottle and throw it against the wall so you'd have a sharp bit of bottle.
It doesn't make any sense. Granted, that is adventure games.
Yes, it was.
From this era, they did the same thing, but I don't know. Not here.
But there were some things I did like. There were some things that made me laugh like only 90s games can. There was one ghost you killed with alcoholism. He was in a cell, and the only way you could kill him was giving him a bottle of whiskey, and then he drank it and died. And I thought, wow.
Funny.
That's
Wait a minute,
so
was
90s.
That Lefty?
Yes, yeah, it was Lefty.
Hey, Lefty.
I know, I just thought, wow, that was cool. Again, another 90s great thing, granted it is spaghetti western-esque. You healed yourself by drinking out of your canteen of whiskey.
Of course. Because that's because you're there. Because you're the paranormal private eye.
Yeah, right? You need to keep you need a buzz going. That's how you work. So you just keep drinking.
I'm a man and I hunt ghosts.
It's funny. It's 90s. The logic puzzles on this are just, to some degree, too much.
Yes, it's almost just illogical.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I get it, but you could have done this a bit simpler.
Fine.
I, combining the banana with the knob on the door plus a smile does not make, an explosive. But in this type of game, that type of logic... Granted, it was the era. Monkey Island had some insane logic
to
it. It really
did. This is the era of that. So then it was fine, I guess.
Yeah, but the thing about Monkey Island, it's tongue-in-cheek. So you kind of expect it. This game is a survival. I'm trying to save someone's life. And then you realize that you're wearing the red plimsolls instead of the black ones. It just kind of detracts from the notion for me. I give everyone a high five, a pat on the back, a fist bump, whatever. If you completed this game in 1995 on your own without any walkthroughs,
that's
you must be Mensa.
That's
you are
an
Mensa
achievement.
Material. Yeah, you should be working at NASA because I was walking around this game for about an hour with no clue what was going on or what to do.
Definitely, I must say. It was a bit nostalgic having to look up a guide on GameFAQs.
Yeah, right, GameFAQs. Yeah, that's where I went too. I used to use that all the time very long time ago. I like that.
So that was fun. But, I mean, I shouldn't need a walkthrough.
No.
It is an adventure game. Mm. It was a product of its time. Games have evolved yes,
exactly
from this.
Right. That's exactly it. It was one of those that's just try everything until it sticks, right? You got
yes,
a
exactly.
Clock,
that's
you try
it.
Everything
didn't
in
even,
it.
It didn't even work all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no, exactly, because you didn't have the piece or the thing. Or you. Nah, it's super hard, but I guess if you were doing it without it, it would be very rewarding when you eventually found out.
True, very
what
true.
To do.
It's one of those games that you would remember how to do
yeah,
50,
like you,
years, 50 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said with Elden Ring, completing it, you remember that battle and you remember how hard that battle was. In theory, you would do the same thing. I said, oh, I remember this bit. It took me ages to feed the meat to the cuckoo clock because, yeah, it would. Gameplay-wise, I thought, of course, there was the little platforming section came back, like from the first one. A bunch of pillars to jump to and from.
Yes.
Some engines helping you out on the way.
This one had a lot of actual combat, though.
Yes, true. No, really
nothing,
did.
I feel in the first game you had to run away more than anything.
A lot. Yeah,
in
yeah.
this one, there's more combat. You were fighting off the dead cowboys and zombies.
It was weirdly frustrating as well because of the new 3DS to line up your guy with the gun the cowboy. It was doing my head in. I'd shoot and I'd be like to the right and they're like, but you look like you're on the same level. but it is, again, I'm moaning about an era of in 30 years old, and this was the best you had, so it was actually quite good if you compared it to other things. Yeah. My favorite thing I remember from 1995, and it blew my mind that I didn't notice as a kid, is that Star Wars Dark Forces, you know the game?
Yes.
It's a scroller, kind of Doom-esque. You got the gun in front of you, ladies and gents. You can't shoot up or down on it. And I can't believe, I remember realizing this years and years later, that I can't believe that I was okay with that. There are aspects in that game where there are people above you and you can't shoot them because you can't point your gun up.
Yes.
And I just remember
just
thinking that's
insane.
Had
to be shot.
Yeah, you just had to walk to the platform and then shoot them straight again.
Nice.
I'm sorry, it was a weird little nostalgia trip, but I remember somebody told me that. I said, no way, you could definitely shoot them. And I remember playing it thinking, oh my God, you can't shoot up. Dark Forces 2, they fixed that problem though. Sorry. Well,
because, I mean, the first game to look up and down as well as sideways was Marathon. And that was,
yes, like, yeah, that's
wasn't
true.
That
96? Yeah, I can imagine that was just a year or so later. Yeah, it's very true. But anyway, anything else gameplay wise? Yeah, the puzzles are complicated.
I just thought the tank controls are uncomfortable, like they always are. Tank controls are never fun.
Yeah.
But the adventure aspect is fun if you know what to do.
Yeah, agreed.
But the entire town is full of enemies.
Like,
with
yes.
no issue just killing you.
No, agreed. This one, compared to the first one, every place has a bad guy.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter where you're going. I do like that one bad guy just put his guns out to the side and then span in a circle. Again, very 90s ballerina, but it did make me laugh when he did it.
I mean, the first game had a lot of weird Lovecraftian things.
Yeah.
There's a big mouth behind that door. Ghost people dancing in the hallway. There's a ghost lady sitting down reading her book.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like the house was full of paranormal, supernatural forces that are deadly.
Yeah.
But they are so disinterested in you because you're so... tiny to them.
Yeah,
in
agreed.
Here,
yes.
In this game, mm-hmm. you're the main focus, and you need to be killed.
Yeah, agreed. There's that.
And
from the first game,
I think I like the first game better.
I agreed because you, for lack of a better term, you don't matter to them until
that's
you matter.
That's what I'm trying to get
at.
I
mean, right?
You don't matter because what they're trying to do is so much bigger than you.
Yes, exactly right. No, I agree. I think that's very true. And this, you're right. Every room you go into, turns into a shootout. So that's like the old classic Western-esque.
Yeah.
You know, every
if that's
room
what
you
you're
go
after,
kill a bad guy. Yeah, yeah.
It's here, but it's not like there's anything much more.
No, agreed. Okay, did you have any performance issues then with this bad boy?
No, I'm just still quite impressed that a game like this, like the first and second game, originally ran on MS-DOS.
Yeah, I know, right? You could probably run this game in your browser nowadays. I know a lot of the old school
most likely,
ones you can.
Most likely, browsers are. I think you can run this game on your calculator. No, probably not.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I've seen people do it with Doom. But granted, this is 3D, so 3D-esque, I suppose. Go on.
The only performance issue I had was trying to get a keyboard that was compatible.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
Because I've got a tiny little 60%er.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just does not work with this game.
No, it wouldn't. No, it's funny to think that, you know, these games. It's funny to think that's a problem, right? We've done all technology new, and it's all updated, and now all of a sudden you can't play a game from 1995 because you've got the small keyboard. It's funny to me. I do like that.
What did you have?
I swear it's my performance issue with every game recently is just the camera sometimes is balmy. That I get they're trying to do the cinematic like views from the corner and from up here and from down there. But sometimes you can't orientate your left, right, up and down properly because of where it is. And some of the things, it took me like 5 minutes to push a lever because I needed the guy to freaking line up with it and then go to the menu and press push and he wouldn't. It was driving me nuts. And it was just a simple thing.
Totally
old school
that.
Camera. I'm not sure if you call it performance, really.
I mean, that's niggling. Controls. And if the controls just don't work, then yes, that could be performance. A load of times, I needed to go into open search mode and hold down space bar so Edward can open or search. And
everything,
the item right in front of him just would not register.
No, exactly. That line up, that little lining up aspect to everything so that you're
that's a performance issue, I'd say.
Yeah, it drove me a bit mental. But it was a thing of the 90s. It was quite a common problem. So nowadays, it would bug most people.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, nothing, it ran fine. No performance.
Exactly. It's a simple little game that runs perfectly. Value for money, then.
Value for money. This game is fairly cheap now.
Yeah, it's kind of really cheap.
Back then, though, the value for money, if you bought this game and you won that trip to Tombstone, hell yeah,
that's
some
really
value
cool,
for money.
That's still a really cool marketing thing. I like that. I hope someone out there tells the story how they went there and they got the game. That's really cool. Someone's
it
got that.
It would be very cool.
That
if you didn't win the trip to Tombstone, your value for money is fine. $60. Yeah. I mean, if you know what to do, this game can be completed in under an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, like,
right?
Really quick, yeah.
But I think with all of these adventure games, just stumbling alone in the dark, not knowing what to do, this game can stretch out to be 20 hours.
Yeah, easy. Like I said, if you did nothing, didn't use any game FAQs or game facts, and this would be a game that I would uninstall after like a week because I would
so
have gotten
frustrated.
Nowhere, especially young David. He would have gotten nowhere, and
I'd
have been angry and uninstalled.
But I mean, wouldn't you be so enchanted with the 3D visuals and the Midwest Gothic style? Right.
Yeah, at the beginning. Yeah,
that
sure,
you're actually in a town like Tombstone. Wouldn't that just be so cool that
you
would keep playing?
Yeah, but it's got the name Slaughter Gulch. it's not a cool name to be saying. I'm at Slaughter Gulch.
Yeah. Take a photo of me at the saloon. I'm at Slaughter Gulch.
I do love like what you said, that there's a meeting somewhere around a big table. So what should we call the town? And somebody said like Rotten Valley Lagoon or something like that. Somebody said Slaughter Gulch and they were like, yes, that's it.
Perfect.
Lock it in. I just can't imagine that was... The other proposals must have been horrible if Slaughter Gulch was chosen.
If that was
the
best one. If that one won.
That just makes me smile. You can buy the anthology I saw. I don't know if I think I saw it on Steam. I can't actually remember now. For like $20, which is, to be honest, a bit much.
Now it is.
Yeah, like it's...
But
like,
these were three full games 30 years ago. 30 years ago, sure, fine, great, good value for money.
Yeah, agreed.
Now it's just a piece of history.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we said this all about the old ones. It's nice to go down history, like a museum of playing the old games to see where you got now. Yeah, it's like you said, it's a one-play game, though. That kind of bugs me.
I get, like most adventure games, yes, you play it once, you got it, that's good. But yeah, I think you're
right.
But like right.
I said, it you say like most game. Adventure games, I've played the Monkey Island games a good number of times because of their charm and their wackiness and their slapstick and aspect of it. This, for me, granted, I say this from a perspective, I'm not a horror game player. It's not my. I would never see myself going back to this because of a moment in it. Whereas I can picture the moment I had to poison the poodles at Governor Marley's house, or the moment Largo hung me upside down on the bridge to get all my gold out of me at the very beginning of Monkey Island 2.
Oh no, did... don't...
Sorry, spoilers.
No, did...
Yeah, go on.
Oh, did Guybrush Threepwood poison Elaine Marley's poodles?
Yeah, the piranha poodles outside her mansion. You had to poison a piece of meat from you got from the chef's place in the bar. They went to sleep. It was to put them to sleep.
Okay, they went.
Poison,
that's
so.
Fine. They didn't die. Guybrush Threepwood wouldn't do that.
No, he wouldn't kill anything. No, he's a good pirate.
I think besides all of those, it's important for a place like Steam or just Atari to... Who owns Alone in the Dark now? It's not still Atari. Who's publishing the new remake?
Ooh, no clue. But I'd be amazed if... Do you think Atari sold
I think it's
it?
Great and also important that these old games, games 30 years and older and the like, are kind of... What's the word? Kept... around what's the word I'm looking for
archived, but I know what you mean, like
yes, they're not lost, they're not forgotten, yes, they're yes. not taken off of every shelf.
Agreed
So I'm happy for that at least.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be very sad if these disappeared. I know they don't look as good or anything like that, but it'd be very sad to see games of old where you THQ Nordic is doing the new one.
Okay.
Which is a bit... I didn't know it was going to be that. And Pieces Interactive. Yeah, I don't see Atari on here at all, unless Atari owns Nordic, which seems
I don't
unlikely.
Know. No, I think Embracer Group.
Yeah, I think you told me that
Nordic.
Before. Yeah, I agree. It's always to be a sad day when these go missing or no longer...
True.
I don't know, purchasable or free to play or whatever. Because
I think
you
they
know,
should stay available. It's important for gaming history.
I agree, yeah. And nowadays, gaming history is literally a thing. The history
yes.
of gaming is important.
Yes.
It's become so paramount in everyone's lives now. It's good to go back and look at it.
I agree. Right. Was that it? Was that Alone in the Dark 3?
Yeah, what did we score this bad boy then?
Our scores for Alone in the Dark 3. Let's see here. All of them have decided to come together and make a nice little Western movie. They saw... the upcoming craze for spaghetti westerns, and they thought they were gonna jump the gun and make one before the craze. So they got Emily Hartwood, and they were gonna shoot a film at this new town called Slaughter Gulch.
Slaughter Gulch, such a stupid name. Go on.
Unfortunately, when they got there with Emily, they got abducted and maybe killed. Who knows? Mm. By a big dead cowboy, probably called Jedediah.
Yeah, probably.
But Edward Conby, the paranormal private eye, found Emily Hartwood and the remaining surviving scores that matured into the letter grade rating of C-.
Yeah, which is, strangely enough, we gave the original one a C.
We did?
So, yeah, so C- is... It's true, the original one is better than this. I'd hate to see what we'd score the second one if this one's a C-. And it is hard, ladies and gents. I'm sure to some degree Nick and I are swayed by what we get to play now. You know, we've got the PlayStation 5s, we've got the PCs or the graphics cards. It's very hard to put on your 90s goggles again and play it from the 90s aspect. And so the things that annoy me or niggle us in regards to sound, you know, it's going to come through because we're so used to gaming now. For a lot of people, this is probably a far better game. It's probably nostalgic. It's a lot of fun. It is a cornerstone in horror game history. Really
definitely.
Is. You won't believe it compared to what we get to play now, but this is definitely one of those pillars that the other games have been built upon.
Definitely. Which makes me so interested in what they are going to do in the remake.
Yes, exactly. I mean, like, Can't wait to see the new one because we've not so long ago played the original. So now we get
the
to
original
compare.
And now this one as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, so we get to see what they kept in with the protagonist or see what they let out in regards to. No, it'd be interesting to see even if they put some notes that Emily Hartwood wants to be an actress, like in the first one, to nod into aspects in the third one. You know, things like that would be a lot of fun to discover. I look forward
could
to
be. Wow. But anyway, yeah, thank you for listening to this week's episode. If you'd be so kind, you could leave us a review, or don't, that's fine too. You could rather follow us on our social media channels, on YouTube and on Instagram, or you could send me an email. I'm nick@criticalarcade.com.
And I'm dave@criticalarcade.com.
But besides for your email, Dave, where else can we follow you?
Well, you can find me, and I am out and about in town, but I'll tell you, I've actually become friends with... I don't know what the Americans call it, where you get it. I know people who can change your name, right? I can get your name officially changed to something. I have that
change
power.
Change your name?
Change your name. I can get people legally get their names changed. I have this power. So I will get your name changed to Slaughter Gulch. Granted. That will first happen, and then, I don't know, I'll put you somewhere in the Nevada desert. That's kind of Western-esque, no one around. Slaughter Gulch. I'm trying to think of something bad, but that this game wasn't particularly scary. Like, I could put you in a Western. I can surround you by ghost cowboys.
You could...
A part of me, that
sounds
like fun.
I don't know,
like
changing
fun.
My name to Slaughter Gulch.
Yeah. Just
and being put in the middle of a desert, that sounds bad.
The scariest part about this game was Slaughter Gulch, the name. how poor a choice that was. Literally the most scary part of this game. But anyway, that's what will happen. You may like the name Slaughter Gulch.
If you don't, rather support us on Patreon. We spoke about Patreon earlier in this episode. We've finally got the Patreon back up and running. We've got new episodes this week. We are, I think in 2 days, going to release Fight Club.
Oh, yes.
So please look forward to that. If you're a patron, it's coming. You can listen to our thoughts on Fight Club.
Sounds fun. Yeah, we had a lot of thoughts.
Dave,
so no. Yeah.
How about you tell us, what have we got lined up for next week?
Okay, next week's game is actually going to be a surprise to us and potentially all of you because we're not entirely sure what it is yet. It's going to be a banger, I know that. It's more than likely going to be something brand new in regards to coming out this week in March or this month in March. So keep an eye out on our socials and like to see what we're coming in because we're not entirely sure yet, which is, again, kind of exciting from our respect because you get to hear it every week. We already know. This time we get to be like you and we'll find out. It should be a good, exciting, like Christmas.
Very true. Check in next week so you can see what we've got lined up and we'll see you then. Cheers.
Cheers.